Joshua Thingpound, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me.
You are one of the authors who have published a paper called Multithropic Level Response to Extreme Metal Contamination from Gold Mining in a Subarctic Lake. Can you translate that into English?
Absolutely. So what we did is we looked at the impact of the legacy of contamination from gold mining in a small lake in the Yellowknife area on the organisms living in the lake at different levels of the food web.
So it's the giant mine, and anybody who's been in Yellowknife, you can't miss that. The mine sits right outside the city. What have you found?
Well, first I would say that it's the legacy of all the mining in the Yellowknife area. So there's a number of relic mines in the area, Giant being the most famous, but there was also the Khan mine and the Nagus mine. And so the lake was integrating an archive of the contamination from all of those sites, though primarily the history of contamination is from Giant.
And so how contaminated is it, and what were you able to find from looking at the contamination?
So we looked at a number of different things. We looked at the current levels of different contaminants in the lake itself, so looking in the water and in the modern sediments, the sediments at the surface, and we found those values were very high for contaminants, particularly arsenic, which is this contaminant that's most commonly associated with the legacy of contamination from Giant. The levels in the water of Pocket Lake, the small lake we looked at, were very, very high, more than 2 milligrams per liter of arsenic, which is quite high, much higher than the guidelines for drinking water, for example. And then we looked at a sediment core, so looking back at an archive of what the contaminant levels were like a long time ago when the mine was at its most active, and we found that the concentrations being released to the environment were quite high for a number of different metals, arsenic, antimony, lead, mercury, and then we looked at the response of the biological organisms to those contaminants.
So tell me about that. How did these organisms, adapt to these levels of contamination?
Well, I wouldn't say adapt. We looked at the response of a number of different trophic levels. We looked at the primary producer community, the ones that that leave identifiable remains in the sediments. These are the diatoms, and we found that there were the loss of the planktonic diatoms, the diatoms that live in the open water column. Then we looked at the response at a primary consumer level, so the zooplankton, the microinvertebrates that feed on the algae in the lake. And we found that the cladocera, which is a very important group of primary consumers, they occupy many different habitats, they were effectively lost from the lake at the height of contamination. So we couldn't recover any more remains of the cladocera in the sediment core.
What does this tell you about the impact of mining on the environment? Is there anything we can learn from your study?
Sure. So I would start by saying that Pocket Lake really is one of the most extreme examples that you could possibly find. We picked the lake specifically because it's, we would say, the center of the bullseye for the impacts of mining from Giant mine. It's only about a kilometer away from the roaster stack. We know that the concentrations of contaminants were very, very high. And we expected to see some of these kind of changes, these multi-trophic level impacts. But it is a good framework from which to evaluate the impact on other sites that might have been less impacted, and then to try and track the potential for recovery when the contaminant source is decreased or ceases to exist. And so that's what we're doing going forward.
What does this mean in practical terms? For people who live in this area, are they going to be able to fish in the lake? Is it even advisable to be anywhere near that lake?
This particular lake, we believe, has always been fishless. So that answers the question about taking resources from the lake. If there were fish in it, it would definitely be a bad idea to consume those organisms. And so it suggests that this site and any site that was as contaminated as this would be a bad place to fish. But they do a good job of testing the waters in other lakes in the area that people do use for fishing. And so that's something that has to be continued going forward. In terms of, for example, drinking water, I would not drink the water from Pocket Lake, though it is on the Giant Mine lease territory, and so it should have limited access in general. Other lakes in the area, again, are monitored very closely for contaminants that might be of interest to the population.
How long do these contaminants stay in this water or in the sediments?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It can depend on a lot of different factors. So as I said, Pocket Lake, even though the height of contamination ended more than 30 years ago, is still very, very high in contaminants, in particular arsenic. And we know from the sediments that it has decreased from the maximum amount we observed in the late 50s and 60s when contamination was at its height. But it's worrying that there's still such high levels so long after the end of mining activities. In general, in other lakes, how fast recovery occurs, chemical recovery, varies a lot depending on many, many factors related to the inflow and outflow of the lake, how quickly the water flushes, how much is in the sediment, the area of the catchment of the lake. And so it can vary quite a bit depending on the system. And then biological recovery, the return of organisms to their pre-impact communities, can be influenced by even more factors and can lag chemical recovery by a long, long time. And so the barriers to biological recovery are many and have to be looked into further in the specific context of arsenic contamination in the area.